watch the work of Mac in bold and boyful, toying somewhere between love and abuse, calling to join them the wretched and joyful, shaking the wings of their terrible youth.
This is Wonder If Better Now Having Survived, a Loki TV show fanfic written by Limerental and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Loki-Sylvie, with additional tags for Self-Cessed, Canon Divergent, Apocalypse Loop, Five and One Things, Ambiguous Open Ending, Shape-Shifting Genitals, Gender Fuckery, Top Sylvie, Bottom Loki, Self-Reflection, Nihilism, Dialogue Heavy, Canon Typical Violence, and is set between episodes 3 and 4 of Season 1. Summary. 5 times that the world ends, plus one more time. Or, Loki and Sylvie flee together from the TVA and take whatever comfort the other can offer. Author's notes. Title is from a Hozier song, clearly. This ship is all I'm going to be talking about for the next several weeks. I'm a born-again Loki fucker. A few things. One, I have interpreted Loki's potentially OOC behavior in the show as nihilism in the face of his death and the meaninglessness of his life. Two, I don't care how they escape Lamentis. Three, I did more research for this than any fic I have written in the past year. 4. Velociraptors and T-Rexes probably had lips. 5. It's very ethical to fuck yourself from another universe, and actually, you should.
Freshly disowned in some frozen devotion, no more alone or myself could I be. Lurks like a stranger to the arms that were open. No shortage of sordid, no protest from me.
5. After Lamentis and a crush of monochrome, it is a relief. A warm film of sunset colors rises gauzy over the sea, blue water offering up licks of gold where the sunlight splinters under the waves. The sand beach glares so white it burns. Not bad, says Loki, delicately clutching the hastily repaired tempad that has just whisked them neatly away from certain doom. He breathes the salt air and sighs. It's always a pleasant surprise, survival. Sylvie huffs, folding her arms. She looks a mess, hair loose and singed at the tips, armor scuffed, face dirtied. He must look no better. I suspect you're about to tell me that this very beach is due for a tsunami any moment now. Nothing so pedestrian as that. An incoming hurricane, then. Does it look like hurricane weather? No. Right. Meteor? Supernova? An errant wave reaches in silence across the slick sand, threatening to foam over their boots like a healthy froth of ale. Look out there, says Sylvie, her eyes on the rotund swell of the ocean horizon. Loki squints. Ah, yes, I see clearly now, he says, with all the knowing aplomb of a person who is presently seeing jack shit. Sylvie rolls her eyes. A shift in ocean pH is about to kill off the last remaining microorganisms in this planet's only sea. Nothing else lives here for the rest of eternity. Was it pollutants? Global warming? Radiation? No, she says. Not every apocalypse is someone's fault. Sometimes bad things just happen. Very poignant, says Loki. Can I get that on a postcard? Sometimes bad things just happen in... Hang on, where is this? It doesn't matter. Sylvie swivels neatly on her heels to face him, her jaw set tight. Now, enough fucking about. You are going to give me that device. Now. And end up stranded on a sad, lonely planet with a sea made of acid? The sea is not made of... It's perfectly harmless to higher life forms. Well, that counts you out, then, being the inferior variant. Give me the temp pad! Loki considers this, fingers drumming along the slender edges of the screen. I think, he says, making a show of considering very deeply, that it looks like a wonderful day for a swim. He fizzles the device away in a blur of green light and begins shucking free of his clothes. He has the distant hope that whatever sort of sun illuminates and warms this planet does not subsist via one of the rarer forms of nuclear fission whose byproducts he is not immune to, before charging naked into the blue water. Cock! Curses Sylvie loudly. Yes, says Loki, pleased to find the water warm as a bath and the current gentle. Very astute anatomical observation. Waiting out until he can cast himself back to float with arms folded behind his head, he imagines himself buoyed up amid the dying wails of this planet's final microorganisms. No matter how theatrically he pictures it, the daydream isn't all that satisfying. None of this feels satisfying. Untethered from the hands of time itself, infinite apocalypses to hide in, and still, when he blinks, he sees the insignificant crack of a feeble creature's vertebrae, fluttering fingers like moth wings. Slack gape of a spent mouth. Undying, indeed. On the shore, Sylvie is shedding her skin, dropping her clothes to the sand. She is not a bit like him, not in her posture or her mannerisms or her slender body. Her chest is nearly flat, but her hips wide and girlishly. He delights to see that she has absolutely no backside to speak of, a point in his favor. It's the anatomy between her legs that draws his closest interest. Quit gawking, says his double, striding with hands on hips into the waves. It's nothing you haven't seen before. He and Sylvie have the very same penis. He would recognize it anywhere. You and I have the very same penis, he exclaims. Yes, yes, she says. It looks better on me. It doesn't, but he cannot deny an appealing quality to the look of it on her softer form. The waves lap pleasantly around his ears. Which one is your favorite? He asks. She has waded close enough to touch, but does not. Felt as nothing but a displacement of water. Which apocalypse? Which apocalypse is your favorite? Oh, I know just the one, says Sylvie, dry enough to rasp like sandpaper. Hand it over, and I'll show you. Nice try, says Loki, and he reaches inward for the temp pad, moisture wicking off his hands before he can touch the screen. Ah, it has a randomizer setting. How about the grand tour? With her sweet and breath and her tongue so mean, she's the angel of small death in the opening scene with her straw blonde. Four. The muddy cloud plumes in a gray sky, towering higher and higher in the way of ink in clear water. It rises in utter silence, prophetic, mushrooming.
"Well," says Loki, "this one may suck."
"We're a few hundred miles from the epicenter," says Sylvie, "an hour or so before the worst of the radiation hits us." Loki whistles.
"Someone was a bit pissed off, looks like."
"An accident. Intern pressed the wrong big red button."
"Ah, awkward."
They stand shoulder to shoulder in the middle of a dusty country lane to watch the mushroom cloud crest the very limits of the atmosphere. Meanwhile, the idyllic countryside around them goes on without change. A herd of large marsupials grazes together behind a wire fence. One scratches its green haunch with its spiraled antler.
A rather ugly insect flaps its way past, buzzing horribly.
It's all very quaint for the end of the world.
"Do you think they milk those things, or..."
"I'm not a tour guide."
"You're no fun. It's a wonder how someone can make an apocalypse seem boring."
"I'm not doing any of this for fun. I'm doing it for
glorious purpose."
"Don't say it like that. I don't call it that."
"No?
I'm not some prince who falls back on pomp and ceremony. There's nothing glorious about any of this. It's just rubbish. I destroy the timekeepers, I survive. Nothing more profound than that."
Loki hums, rocking back and forth on his heels.
"Survival sounds fairly profound to me." "I have no purpose," says Sylvie, bitter.
"Certainly no glorious one."
"You're a cockroach scuttling from disaster to disaster, feeding on scraps," he muses.
"I don't think that's even close to what I said."
Sylvie taps her fingers against her folded arms. "Are we done sightseeing? This is getting old." "What happens to this place?" The mushroom cloud flickers with ominous lighting, the horizon tinged orange now by the rising fires. "Nothing happens. It ends." One of the youngest marsupials raises its arched head and honks. The rather ugly insect knocks into a meadow flower and clings with clumsy legs. Sylvie's brow is furrowed, and her hair frizzes across the crown of her head, a breeze stirring the tangled strands.
"She does not look a thing like him."
But he sees it anyway, the similarities. It isn't a quality she has, but something lacking, something taken from them.
Trampled dignity, stolen birthright, betrayed trust, hampered free will. Even their place in the regular flow of time has been taken from them. He cannot say how long it's been since New York, since Thanos, since the splinter of the Bifrost. How long has Sylvie been caught in this trap? A refugee huddled on the cusp of disasters that never quite touch her, remembering only shadows, aging without any landmarks for age.
"I was wrong," says Loki, watching the treetops begin to sway in a buffeting wind, warm with the first whispers of radiation. "This one is dull."
Feeling more human and hooked on her flesh, I lay my heart down with the rest at her feet. Fresh from the fields, all feeder and fertile, it's bloody and raw, but I swear it is sweet.
3.
The moment that their boots touch down on the dense leaf litter cushioning the forest floor, Sylvie ducks away and begins scrabbling up a tree. The air smells pungent with earthy rot and the cloying fragrance of strange flowers, and the trees soar above, Loki craning his neck to see their crowns swaying among the glimpses of blue sky. At once, the suffocating humidity begins to curl the frayed tips of his hair. Sylvie has settled into the crook of a limb, crossed legs dangling. I assume you have some reason for being up there. Yes, Sylvie says, while examining her cuticles. The ground beneath his feet rumbles faintly, and a bevy of squawking creatures takes to the sky from a nearby thicket. Where is this exactly? Midgard, late Cretaceous. How late? Very. His cursed reply is interrupted by a rustle of the undergrowth, followed by the emergence of a waist-high feathered theropod, its head tilting in curious assessment of the area. It focuses on him at once, a low trill rising from its throat. The feathered mane along its neck puffs into ruffled fullness, and its lips pull back with a snort to reveal a mouth full of pointed teeth. He feels an uneasy suspicion as to why Sylvie is presently up a tree. Loki eyes the slender-necked theropod with increasing wariness, sinking his weight back onto his heels and readying to manifest a dagger. A quick glance above at Sylvie sees her making sharp movements to abort, but by then, the creature is already moving, swift and calculated, toward him. Things happen very quickly after that. There is the glint of his stout daggers in hand, the curious squawk of the beast, and then a rumbling quake of seismic activity beneath his feet, unmistakable in its cadence. The approaching footfalls of something quite large and quite fast. Loki and the theropod freeze in consideration of the sound, the creature letting out an alarmed trill. Up! Sylvie shouts. Her voice gone shrill in a way Loki must remember to mock her for later, when not likely to be devoured by mysterious gigantic beasts. Climb, you idiot! Loki climbs. He flings himself into the effort of clumsily finding suitable hand and footholds on the tree as he scrabbles desperately upward, but only makes it less than twice his height before the undergrowth gives in a rain of shattered branches to the lurching gait of the hulking mass of a far larger theropod. The smaller creature hisses, its plume of feathers flattening to its lowered head, and makes a swift and decisive exit. The beast is massive, on a scale that sends a swoop of terror through his stomach, and he understands at once why Sylvie has chosen a branch at such a height. Even several meters up the trunk of the tree, Loki is still well within range of its terrifying jaws. With a frustrated noise, Sylvie kicks futilely at his head, too far away to make contact. Move, you daft fucking... He moves with all the speed of a man who prefers his limbs not to be crushed by the fearsome teeth of an ancient behemoth. Above him, Sylvie leans low, arm extended, shouting a blur of creative expletives at him over the crashing din of the beast's approach. She grasps his hand and holds tight until he can clamber up to straddle the crook of the gnarled limb, no room to avoid pressing close behind her. The quick pants of his breath brings his chest flush against the curve of her spine. She is warm and soft and trembling with nervous energy, and on impulse he wraps his arm around her, drops his head, presses his nose into the line of her shoulder. Her hair tickles against his face. fuck, he sighs, as the massive beast beneath them rushes past, attention caught by the smaller fleeing creature. You knew this forest was crawling with horrid things like that and didn't think to tell me? I was nearly eaten. A Tyrannosaurus, says Sylvie. She wouldn't have eaten you. Far too scrawny. She'd use you to pick her teeth. I could have died! And she'll die very shortly when the meteor hits, she says. You're not so special. Their breaths have slowed to the same rhythm. Her heart beats steady in the press of his forehead to a sharp shoulder blade. Sylvie clears her throat. Do you need a handkerchief? A change of panties? Loki uncurls his fingers from around her shoulders and sits up straighter. How soon is this meteor strike? We may need to climb higher if we want a better view. It's a rock 7 miles wide, blasting through the atmosphere at 2 dozen miles per second. Ah. Big flash of light and poof. That's that. Boring. Tell that to the Tyrannosaurus. I would, but I'm not sure she would stop to listen to a doomsday prophet before eating me whole. Oh, just get on with it. On with what? Sylvie shifts to look back at him, brow arched. On to the next one? On with whatever you're intent on trying to prove here? Well, I'm not trying to prove anything. Just having some fun before I die. Which could be at any moment if that battery runs out again. It's fully charged. You're very uptight, you know. I am not. I am the picture of relaxation. You're extremely tense. Loki splays his hand across her taut shoulders, and she shrugs them off, glaring. It's the end of the world, she huffs, rolling her shoulders. He gives in to the impulse to press his lips to the juncture of her neck and shoulder, the skin pale and wisped with flyaway hairs. He feels her shudder through the press of their bodies. Isn't it always? Air pollution warps over the metal ribs of skyscrapers, a film of dust clouding the view from the wall of windows that peers down into the empty city below. Sirens rise amidst the dust and heat, the endless desert beyond the city flickering with glares like the open ocean. It is the end of the world. Was there a war? Asks Loki, palm pressed to the warm glass. The penthouse apartment is still chilled by the internal cooling system, but there is no disguising the blaze of heat beyond the glass. A plague? A natural disaster? Doesn't matter, asks Sylvie from behind him, an odd quality to her voice. It all ends. Sylvie, how long have you been hiding in these disasters? All alone. Ending after ending. Pulled back from the brink of death each time like a magic act. Undying. That doesn't matter either, she says, and steps close enough behind him that her breath stirs his hair. She has never fallen from the Bifrost or felt the addictive warp of an Infinity Stone, but their paths are not so different. He himself has never watched Asgard burn or cracked in a titan's fist, but he has seen it all the same, preordained and engraved in the annals of fate. And yet, here they are, undead refugees caught between the pages of one tragedy and the next. Sylvie stands on tiptoe, and Loki turns and ducks to meet her in a kiss that is simple, open, plaintive. The light pressure of her fingertips ghosts the flat of his chest, his hands hovering to cup the swell of her jaw, her temples, the tangle of her hair. It does not feel like kissing a reverberation of himself. She is a different image, refracted. She is someone new entirely, shattered in all the ways that he is and more. She kisses him like she has known him her whole life. "Does this count as masturbation?" he whispers against her lips. She pinches him hard and tugs on the lapels of his jacket until it falls from his shoulders to the floor. "I'm not you," she says, pestering until he tugs his shirt over his head and wiggles out of his boots and trousers. She remains fully clothed, kissing him deep and full, her small hands dragging through his hair and fisting tight. "No, I'm much more polite to my bed partners," he breathes. "We're not partners." "Bed, though?" Loki waggles his eyebrows, and Sylvie snorts. The bed in the penthouse is truly massive, circular and done up in black silk sheets. Certainly to his taste, and probably hers as well. "Hang on. You weren't simply trying to seduce me to steal the temp pad and whisk away, leaving me here to die alone on a sad little desert planet, are you? Because my magic spatial pocket is not limited by the boundaries of physical clothing." "Ah, darn," Sylvie deadpans, and her fingers tighten against his scalp, blunt nails scraping. "You've foiled my dastardly plan." "Yes, you are nearly as devious as I am." "Nearly." "Devious." She holds his skull back by the hair to taste the bared skin of his throat. Her mouth burns and her teeth bite. "You're an infant. You hardly know the meaning of the word." The silk of the bedsheets envelops him as she shoves him back, rising above his nude form, still wearing her dusty clothes, the leather creaking as she straddles his thighs. Her gloved hand is rough against the delicate pink skin of his erection, rubbing the flat of her thumb along the underside. "You always wear this illusion?" she asks as she teases him, drawing his foreskin back and slicked up again with painful slowness. When Loki does not catch her meaning, she smooths both palms down his slender thighs. "I've met some versions of you in blue." Loki squirms beneath her hands. "You're one to talk. You're blonde." "Blonde suits me. You have breasts. Very nice breasts. So could you if you wanted." "And so I do sometimes. You're not blue." "I wear this form because it's far more inconspicuous. People underestimate me. You wear the shape of an Asgardian prince. Even after they lied to, betrayed, and dethroned you." "Why?" Loki considers this. She has not stopped her slow and deliberate touches, exploring the lean planes of his body. So his eloquence has all but fled.
"Never thought about it."
He has had scant time to think of anything at all the past several years, the longest years of his existence. He had thought once, the day that felt like several lifetimes ago, He had thought of striding out to meet his returning golden child brother, wearing the gray skin and rippling ornamentation of the reviled monsters of their youth. He had had the thought once more on the brink of a portal to Midgard. And though his thoughts were frayed, pained, and manic, he imagined himself stepping coolly amongst genuflecting mortals, his blue palms open, the arched bone of his horns dangling with golden chain. Now, enveloped in the whispering coolness of silk sheets, his double pressing her mouth to each fret of his ribs, Loki considers it. And shifts. A spark of green before the wash of blue. Sylvie's lips catch on the swirled ridges of his skin. As an afterthought, he stretches beneath her to part his legs and allows his genitals to transfigure, taut firmness giving to a sweet, wet cunt. "Neat trick," says Sylvie, and her tongue along the ridges of his belly draws a deep shiver up his spine. Her small fingers find the new shape of his body, feeling out the slick part of his folds, catching his heartbeat pulsing against her knuckles as she rolls his clitoris between the spaces of her fingers. He curses, back arching as he grips the silk sheets in both fists, and shakes. Groans aloud as she shuffles low and kisses where her fingers crook. His hunch is proving correct. She knows just how to touch him here, because she knows herself. "You're overdressed," he gasps, thighs trembling as he holds himself open for her, the vulnerability tightening and loosening something in his chest. He does not trust her, not really, but none of that actually matters. Nothing matters now. These small, borrowed moments not sending out a single ripple into the universe. Reset each time by disaster. Aborted before it can change anything at all. Sylvie says nothing. She does not move to shed her clothes. When she fucks into him, heady and solid, it is with the clasp of her trousers undone to free the rigid line of her erection, his lithe body tugged up to straddle her lap. The rhythmic swell of her strong hips is unrelenting, and she grips him tight by the back of the neck and the flesh of his backside, fierce and unyielding, with all the steadiness that neither of them have ever known, with all the conviction of last rites soon to be rewritten.
Ceaseless confusion, I wander the concrete. Wonder if better now, having survived. Jarring of judgment and reasons defeat the sweet heat of a breath in my mouth. I'm alive.
1. They step through the portal onto the Bifrost. "Not this one," says Sylvie, her booted feet heavy on the thrum of the bridge. "Pick a different one." "The randomizer is on," says Loki, the words twisting in his tightening throat. He has lost track of how many doomsday events the two of them have frequented, but he's forgotten about this one. He swallows, looks out over the gleaming spires of Asgard. It is more still and silent than he remembers, like a painting. "Where is everyone?" "It's Ragnarok," says Sylvie. "Hela's forces have taken the citadel, and the Asgardians have fled to the hills. We can't stay here. We'll be noticed." Together, they slip from the main stretch of the bridge to the empty observatory, scuttling down the rock it sits upon until they can tuck themselves into a suitable alcove where detection will be unlikely. Sylvie rests her head on Loki's shoulder.
You visited here before? Once, she says, voice low. I waited until the battle was fought and won. Lost myself in the crowd of refugees. Watched this miserable hunk of rock destroyed for good. Don't lie. You stuck around purely to bask in my presence. He isn't you, variant, Sylvie spits. The Loki that arrives here to save the day with a stolen Sakaarian vessel is as dissimilar to you as he is to me. Loki thinks on this, considering what it would be like to stand before the version of himself deemed the sum of who he is meant to be. He wonders if any part of him would feel different, look different. If he dropped to his knees before his better self, would he find even the taste of him changed? Sylvie smacks his arm. Stop thinking whatever I think you're thinking this instant. I'm not thinking anything. You have a look on your face. I know you're thinking exactly what I think you're thinking. I'm only curious, says Loki with a touch of petulance. Come on, what could it hurt? A lot, says Sylvie. It could easily create a Nexus event and get us caught. This moment is too fragile. Any changes will be noticeable. I could disguise myself. We'll sneak onto the refugee vessel just as you did. No. But you are not risking this mission to fuck yourself. Loki's mouth warps down a moment before realizing he is pouting. He purses his lips instead. And you don't count because I'm not you. Fine, says Loki. We're going. His words have hardly left him when the smooth disk of a ship appears above them and zips towards the Citadel. Not long now, says Sylvie. Your brother is headed to confront Hela. Is he not your brother as well? Loki watches the silver streak of the ship as it descends toward the palace. I never knew him, Sylvie shrugs. Or if I did, I don't remember. Something cold sinks its claws into Loki's belly. He realizes with a nauseating surety that he will never see Thor again. It must show on his face. Sylvie reaches for him, a palm cupping his shoulder to turn his body to her, her thumb catching against his chin to dip his mouth against hers. She holds him steady like that, fingers spread across the smooth edge of his jaw. And it should not be enough to ground him. It should not soothe like a balm. He sighs into her mouth and clings to her in turn, quivering against her eerie stillness. As a blackening storm coalesces above the ruined spires of Asgard, shot with tongues of lightning, they turn aside together and vanish into smoke. And one. It ends, because it always will end. It ended before they started. Ended the moment Sylvie fled through time as a child. The moment Loki held the Tesseract in his hands. It is the echo of an ending, caught on the loop, the tape spinning on and on. Come on out, variants, says Mobius, all his weary disappointment obvious in his tone. Don't make me do this the hard way. Loki hasn't the faintest idea how long it's been since he first leapt through a portal after Sylvie. Hours? Days? A century? Time moves differently now. Time shrinks to a suggestion. Time eddies up and casts them as flotsam into nothing. Here is where he is meant to give a grand speech. Here is where he strides out in defiant nonchalance to meet his captors, proud to the last. But he is already a dead man, all of this scrawled like a hasty postscript. Loki goes quietly, holding Sylvie's hand. The end. Reader's notes. So, it's 2021 and I am back on my bullshit. Thank you to the Loki TV show for sparking some measure of rekindled interest in my brain for the MCU Endgame, as many of us kind of burned me out on that. And I'm really enjoying how this Loki show is a little bit more focused, and also, look, he just hurts so pretty, and Sylvie is incredible, and I love all the implications of her character, and I'm so stoked for this. But also, I haven't recorded a podfic with a significant Loki voice presence since 2018. So please forgive the fact that Loki and Sylvie and the narration are all entirely the exact same voice. I don't remember how to do it. Yeah, no, I'm super down with this. I think my favorite dynamic is Loki and Sylvie commit crime, but Loki and Sylvie bone? A+, also good for me. Thank you to Limorenzel for having blanket permission to podfic. Thank you to the AO3 tag wranglers for eventually figuring out a consistent tag for Sylvie. As of this moment, there's not a consistent tag for her. This is a preemptive thank you. and yeah, thank you, listener, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.